This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Eita, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where on this planet you are. Welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week, hashtag Politics with Botsang Modimoame Muilwa. Brother B.
Yes, yes, Brother Fresh, how are you, my man?
Today we're out at Discover TV. Check out the studios. They're out in the Four Ways area near Monte Cassino. Look for Discover TV if you're looking for a decent studio, especially DJs that are looking for a place to record their DJ sets. They have an incredible setup here. You can live stream your DJ set. You can record in here. And yeah, check out Discover TV.
Well, my studio, I like them actually.
Yes, sir.
Reminds me of my childhood, I've told you before, with this black and white and small TVs.
These tube TVs.
Yes, yes.
We had a Blaupunkt.
Yeah.
And we tuned like a little orange stick.
Orange stick.
And then that stick is a lot there, but match stick, yeah.
It used to work. Yes, yes, fresh.
Interesting week. But for me, probably the biggest story was us losing former Reserve Bank governor,
yes.
Finance minister, lover of pilchards fish, lover of horrible shoes, a man generally who's known for not wanting to be flashy.
Yes, yes. That's what I think of him when I read that the flashy stuff, it was not for him.
Ntate Tito Mboweni left us. He was, yes, very young, sad, 65.
Yeah. Very sad, fresh. The week started on that sad note. We woke up on Sunday and Ntate Mboweni was gone. A very humble person as well.
Yes, sir. What are your reflections on his legacy, his life? And maybe also let's talk a bit about some of the back and forths you've had with him,
yeah,
on social media.
Well, it's political,
yes,
you know, that one. And in politics, we came from totally separate political backgrounds. He was,
yes,
a Chartist, I was a Pan-Africanist.
Yeah.
He believed in the capitalist market, I believed in the socialist market.
Mm.
I've never worked with him in government.
Sure.
But actually, you know, thinking of it, Tito Mboweni was, I think, the youngest cabinet minister in Mandela administration. When he was a minister of labor. Remember, he was first the minister of labor.
Yeah, because when he came in, he would have been about 35.
He was in his 30s, mid-30s.
Yeah,
yes.
He was 35.
He was. So I used to say, yeah, I don't know why do they call him the youngest cabinet minister. I'm the youngest diplomat. I was 24. So,
oh, yes. Yeah, you were a child when you were a diplomat.
24, I was the vice consul.
Yeah.
But then he became the first governor of the Reserve, black governor of the Reserve Bank of South Africa. After that, he served two full terms, 10 years.
Yeah.
And then retired and came back as the Minister of Finance. But he was, you know, in various portfolios in government. And a lot of people talk about his contribution towards what we know today as the labor, as the Employment Act, you know, the Equity Act, the BB Act and all that. But again, you know, at the beginning you had said he was not a flashy person. Although those shoes, and the one common thing we had is our love for garlic and not cleaning shoes. I don't believe in cleaning shoes. But I've heard they were not cheap shoes. And he was keeping them for comfort. And that's apparently the, you know, one of those like, you know, hush puppies and
the green cross
type, yeah, of shoes,
yeah,
that were very comfortable. But he was not a glitz and glamour person.
Sure.
He has been known to be a man of austerity measures in government, and we'll talk about it. But one encounter we have had, okay, two encounters we have, you know, crossed lines on social media. One, it was jokes about his cooking skills, and people used to say, "Hey, man, but you must go and teach Tito how to cook." So I challenged him. And then the man passed on, and we had agreed to say, "Yeah, you must come to my tomato farms in Limpopo, and you must see how I cook traditionally."
Mm.
And I'm like, "Dekonyana, man, you know, just put your food nice in your presentation, not the way he was doing it."
Botsang, great cook.
Yeah,
great cook.
And also, but politically, I just didn't like the stance that, you know, he was pushing the WMF and, you know, and World Bank lines.
No, but did he not say that white monopoly capital is a fallacy or doesn't exist?
That's when actually we clashed on social media when he said, "There's nothing, we must stop making noise. There's nothing called white monopoly capital. It doesn't exist in South Africa."
Mm.
And for me, I didn't take kind of that.
Why do you think it exists?
exists? Look, it exists. The economy in South Africa is owned and controlled by white people. And that's where white capital, and it's constrained in the white hands.
No, but for instance, white monopoly capital almost suggests that it's an orchestrated, intentional movement.
Versus
if generally more white people have access
to wealth,
it might not be orchestrated. It's just a fact of where we come from.
It's orchestrated. Yes, yeah. It's a fact, but it's orchestrated. We come from the apartheid era. The policies of this country, or the economic policies, you know, when you look at the trade policies, it's those, the haves. It's the haves, the ones who have historically have access to capital.
Yeah.
And then who has historically had access to capital in South Africa? It's white people. You know, there's few black faces there, but there's a white, the total, you know, I've mentioned several times, 93% of government contracts, they go to white-owned companies. 93%, and nobody's challenging me on that. The current government, so there is white monopoly capital. They've monopolized the whole, you know, doing business with government. I mean, I've asked a question, an example. Why, if there's no white monopoly capital, why wouldn't the government take cell phone contracts with Telkom, including landline contracts with Telkom for government departments only, which is a state-owned entity, and they will go to white capital companies like MTN and Vodacom? Why? Simple thing. And you want to tell me there's no white monopoly capital? They've monopolized this thing. They've even made the government not to do business with itself. The government can't do business with itself. Why doesn't Rand Water bottle water and supply it to other government departments? Purified bottled water. Then we must stop buying from the famous brands. And it should be good. So for me, that was my challenge. But look, Tito was a great, great person. He was a good leader. I first met him, actually. I'll never forget. I was so upset with him. There was a funeral years back, Gatshweni. There's a place called Gatshweni, Kolimpo. Sure. And I think the elder, the mother of Botshweni, the family of Botshweni, had passed on. So the other sister, who was a Rakhadi, was in London. So. You know, the funeral was delayed because the flight was delayed from London that morning.
Okay.
So the lady had to be fetched by a chopper from the airport to come to Gatshweni in Limpopo with a helicopter. And Tito was in the helicopter, and it landed, and there was dust all over us. I was so upset. What is this man showing off that he's putting dust on us? And the MC or the program director went and said, please forgive him, guys. He's in your pockets. You can take out your notes in your pockets. You'll see his signature. But look, I had high respect for him. He was very principled. One of the people who was not afraid to speak his mind in the government. And I like the austerity measures that he had put into place.
Sure.
I've heard the Secretary General of the ANC, Fikile Mbalula, recently bring it back to say Tito put austerity measures into place where they were told to move from cars costing between 1.2 to 1.8 million to 700,000 or 800,000. But you see, what is my problem with that? You put the government or public officials into austerity measures, and they think it's a great thing to do. It's not great, it's what is supposed to happen. Why should a minister be bought a 1.8 million vehicle when Tito could say, use the 800,000 vehicle? You understand? And now, after things are okay and the economy is growing slowly, they go back to extreme expenditure. But look, the man deserves a state funeral. I just wish, actually, they could put an austerity measure towards his funeral.
Oh, yes.
In a sense that it should not be a spending spree.
It must be another opportunity for someone to eat.
Exactly. It must not be a spending spree. I already heard on the radio during the course of the week, the people of the village where he comes from complaining about there's a road, they call it Kwanong or something, that leads there. It's known for potholes and accidents. They say from Tuesday, those potholes are being patched. Because dignitaries are coming, the presidents and international people are coming, they'll be driving on that road.
And it's unfortunate that you must wait for someone to pass away for us to window dress.
Exactly. It's window dressing. And for a man who stood to govern right, to do things correctly. Look, there are shortcomings. We are all human beings. But again, I've heard people say he's one politician who has never been in scandals of corruption. As if it's a common cause that when you are a politician, there must be a scandal in Yana somewhere. You know, clapping hands or celebrating a fish for swimming, when you are appointed to go to government and to render a service, whether as a governor, whether as a commissioner, whether as you must do your job diligently, and after that you move, and that's what Tito did.
And it's expected of you.
It's expected of you.
You don't get a silver star on your forehead.
Exactly.
For doing your job and doing it right and doing what is right.
Exactly, Fresh. And, you know, let the man rest in peace. It was a very short race, but he has run his race. 65, it's a young age.
Now, a lot of comrades this week at the memorial, in fact, I think it was on Thursday that they had a memorial.
Yes.
Were saying that in his honor, maybe there's another opportunity for comrades to start doing right and acting right.
Yeah, don't be a stage.
And cleaning up how they do things.
Don't be a stage, don't fix pothole. Just be clean, run a clean administration. We'll save a whole lot of money to say, let us do things the way Tito conducted himself in government.
And failing which, watch last week's episode of Politics, where you teach you how to eat. That we're not saying don't eat, but yeah, there are ways to eat.
Told you we eat
so that everyone wins.
Let the people win. For me, let the nation win.
Let's move to Tshwane.
Yes.
And, they've got a new mayor, obviously.
Yes, Dr. Moya, we spoke about it. We knew she was going to prevail. It was an easy right?
Yeah.
The deputy now has been elected. ANC have put forward their regional leader, Dr. Mudise, Eugene Mudise.
Yes, sir.
As the deputy mayor, Action SA has supported the move and EFF. But I've looked also with the new mayor, the cabinet of the mayor, the municipal cabinet of the new mayor, it's well balanced. I think EFF also managed to get two or three MMC positions. So I just wish it lasts until the next local elections. It looks like it will work because the three main parties, the DA, I mean the EFF, the ANC, as well as the Action A, they've talked. The DA has decided to take a back seat and be on the opposition benches.
I was going to say, what has been fascinating is how there was noise that was made about if Cilia Brink is not brought back,
things will fall apart.
Things will fall apart. There were threats almost implying that you'll regret it. But in the bigger scheme of things, regional Gauteng does not owe you anything.
No, they don't. Yeah,
they owe you nothing.
They owe them nothing. But look, I think the GA will, with the, I call them their right-wing arm, the AfriForum, will do other things. They'll pursue other things against the leadership of Gauteng. Whether it's Panyaza Lusifu, whether it's Leboga Maile, remember all these people, they've been having rumors of scandals and, you know, maladministration that they are mentioned here and there. I think they will go and dig at that because they are very upset with what has happened, which is unfortunate because, you know, I was listening to the second or the first deputy secretary general of the ANC, Nomvula Mokonyane, responding to this, the attack on the Gauteng leader, Panyaza, and saying that DA in 31 municipalities in the Western Cape, they've booted the African National Congress out. 31, because they are stronger there, they've got power there, and they could go into alliance with other regional or local parties and small parties like the Freedom Front Plus. Now, when the ANC does the same in Gauteng, to go to bed with, using their strength and their muscle, to go to bed with whoever they prefer, why is the DA throwing twice out of the court? And it's how the coalition politics works.
Absolutely.
So it can't be working for them only. I mean, for example, the ANC has compromised in Tshwane because they've got a policy that says where they've got the leading numbers, they will take the leadership position, like the mayor.
Yeah, the mayor becomes whomever has the most
but
votes.
But in Tshwane, they've compromised because the mayor is from Action SA.
Sure.
And now they've settled for a deputy mayor position, which is to show that it's a give and take. But somebody says to me, and I agree with that person, the ANC is so hungry and greedy for power. They want to put a plaster on a bleeding wound so that people must not realize that they are not in power. But look, Fresh, I don't expect much from Tshwane. I don't expect much changes. This is the people that have been recycled inside the Tshwane Metro Council. And the policies have not changed. Some people believe the ANC was better before. Some people believe the DA was better. I've listened to the people of Hammanskraal. It's a year now since the President of the Republic went to Hammanskraal and promised them they will have clean water within 90 days or 3 months. It's a year. the taps only started coming out some water and non-drinkable water. Now water it's a need for our own health,
sure.
But it's also a constitutional right to have clean drinking water. The municipality is supplying water tankers to Hammanskraal. So the reservoir has been repaired and the tanks are open. But they say you can't drink that water. It's for watering your garden, washing your dishes and so forth. You know, this is like cholera. They are actually bred by dirty water. And are they not worried that what happened in Hammanskraal last year, it may happen again, where people in the middle of South Africa at this age, people are killed by cholera or related diseases.
And unfortunately, not everyone is going to know that I'm not supposed to drink this water from the tap.
Yes.
Because for your average person, if it comes from a tap, it must be clean.
It must be clean, yes.
If I open a tap and water comes out, it must be clean.
Exactly. And when you are desperate, when people say, we have not had water for the last 7 days, it's reality that our people are faced with. You know, there's cases of people lacking water and basic services and kids dying of poison food and that. You know, those can do a very good classical cases in court. You know, a classical action because...
Or a class action lawsuit.
Yes, a lawsuit. Understand? Yeah. Very, it can because it's a constitutional right and people are dying, people are losing lives. It's not like it's murder or robbery or what on the street. People are dying of basic things that the state was supposed to take care of human, and they are failing to do that. And it makes me very upset with the council like Tshwane to say we must pay for rates and services, yet the services are not being rendered, the basic ones, the way they are supposed to be. I'm not going to cry about failing trees and potholes on my street. I'm worried about clean water. I'm worried about garbage being removed because it breeds diseases and all that. Yeah. And why are we still paying for the services when political office bearers or public officials are failing to deliver on what they are in the office for? So what are the say rates and taxes for if they are failing to deliver on that? And collectively, so some people may say, but when you stay in Centurion, you must pay because there you have those services. It's the people of Hammanskraal. But we are in Tshwane. We are one metro. Understand? The money is in one kitty. And if the people of Soshanguve or Olive and Houtbosch or Hammanskraal are suffering, they are my fellow residents of Tshwane.
Sure.
And they're supposed to be getting the same service that I'm getting.
You know, the people, there's a school of thought that instead of a rates boycott, let's come together as whatever community, whatever municipal area, and still pay money, but into a separate kitty.
Yes.
And that we will pay for whatever services we get.
We get.
And that's all we'll pay for.
There's people who did that in the Free State.
We're not going to just send you money. That is going to obviously be put to use elsewhere, but not for the things we are paying for.
Yeah.
I'm paying for water. I'm paying for garbage.
Sewage and garbage refusal. Collection. Yeah.
But we're not getting them.
Yeah. No, there's a case.
But if I don't pay, you're going to shut down my water, switch off my lights.
Exactly.
But I'm paying for something I'm not getting anyway.
That's exactly my problem. There's a case in Bloemfontein. I don't know what it's Bloemfontein, but it's Mangaung, but it's in the Free State.
Yeah.
The community group together said, we'll collect the money, we'll go and hire a truck that collects rubbish, that brings water to us. It's our money, it's our service. We are not going to give it to the municipality because the municipality has collapsed. It went to court, they won the case. So people must take over, they must take charge of what is happening. I mean, just with Tshwane, last night I get a call from a friend who lives in Littleton. Littleton is one of the suburbs of Tshwane.
Yes.
And says to me, Bokutsane, you've been having a problem with your account with Tshwane, you know the battle. I and the people in my complex, we have a problem. Maybe you can guide us. What's the problem? Somebody stole, you know, the meter box on the street. It has a board where they hang the meters.
Oh, yes.
Somebody
yes,
stole that whole board with all those meters.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else can do that? It's not the Nyaope boys.
Yeah.
Because Nyaope,
it's someone that knows what to do with it.
Exactly my point. Or somebody who has a contract to replace the meters.
Oh, yes. There's also and
said, because now Tshwane is replacing meters.
If your job is to fix a problem, it's in your
interest to create a problem. They stole that whole board with 7 meters. It's 7 houses. Now, They've put the new ones. They were prepaid. So they've put new ones. Now City of Tshwane says, we don't know how much was left balances in those meters. Therefore, whoever had a balance, you forfeited it. So they want me to check City of Tshwane up for that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm game for that. They're talking nonsense because the system knows when your units are finished. Yeah. It knows when you load. How can the system not know what was the balance?
It's funny. I was having a conversation with a guy who does security for some mines in the Platinum Belt.
Yes.
And he was telling me that once in a while, we've got guys that we bring in to cause trouble. He's telling me, no, we have guys once in a while from the community that we just send in to just say, go shake things up there.
Yeah.
Just so that we stay relevant.
Yeah, they must see us that we're a security company. Otherwise, they will reduce the service here. But we don't have issues here. We don't need this kind of security. Yeah, but anyway, Tshwane is marching forward.
Yeah.
And I think Gauteng has stabilized now.
Mm.
And in my view, it will remain stable up to 2026. I predict that things are going to be very stable in the three metros.
Sure.
And I'm not right now this week. I think it's the mayor, the municipal manager of Mogale City resigned during the course of the week. But it's internal political squabbles. It's not like a vote of no confidence and all that. Yeah.
Attacks on Banyaza, do you think those will subside?
I think the way the ANC reacted this week and they used the platform of the memorial service, they used the platform of 100 days in government, I think they will subside. You see what the DA is doing at the moment. They're focusing on every forum. They're focusing on the reports. Correctly so. This is another thing I must explain. For the DA or every forum or whoever to demand reports from Banyaza Lusufi, the premier of Gauteng, it is not wrong if those reports are outstanding. Even if it's reports before his time, he is the current head of government in Gauteng. So, but Banyaza came out and said, but those reports are out. I don't know which ones are missing. Why don't they ask them? So they're trying to paint a picture that he's actually stepping on these reports to protect some of his comrades. Because it has to do with mainly education, health, and social services in the province. And housing. Okay, one of them is the biggest one is housing, where MEC Maile was before. He becomes now the finance MEC. So they are actually attacking the ANC entire leadership of Gauteng. And Banyaza is standing very firm. But I think it will subside after what the president and Mokonyane and Fikile had said this week, to say their member, their leader in Gauteng, Banyaza, they will support him, they stand by him. Yeah. I think the GA must focus on being in the opposition benches.
Sure. Before we go to the National Assembly, where President Ramaphosa was answering questions, do you want to also maybe touch on the NPA saying that there's nothing left to see in this Phalaphala saga?
In the Phalaphala saga.
and that, what, there's no prospect of a successful prosecution? In a nutshell, is what is being said.
Fresh. It was raised in Parliament, the National Assembly. All state enterprises or entities or Section 9, the AG, SARS, South African Reserve Bank, the NPA, everybody, even the Public Protector's Office, they have said there's nothing in that case. You want my honest opinion? I think the state, what you call it, bodies or section are being abused by President Ramaphosa. There is absolutely no way. I had listened to Dr. Tlope, the Umkhonto-we-Sizwe party leader, asking President Ramaphosa that question in the National Assembly, being a follow-up of the report or the statement by the National Prosecuting Authority, to say, but how is it possible? And he asked a basic question, like, grade one or finance 101 question, to say, what currency are we trading in South Africa? Is it the dollar or the rent, Mr. President? Is the rent. Now, why were you receiving a transaction of a business that you were not supposed to be in? He was not supposed to be in business as the sitting head of state. And he received money that he is confirming that he was aware of the sale and everything. So is the NPA saying there's nothing wrong in the head of state having been on business. And he's saying that.
And in dollars that were not declared.
And in dollars that they were not declared. In dollars that both the South African Reserve Bank as well as South African Revenue Services through its customs, they don't have a record of those dollars entering the country. So where did the dollars come from? So I think these institutions, actually, they will make the nation to disrespect them and to not have confidence in them just because it is the president. You understand? Again, in the National Assembly, the Democratic Alliance, which brought this matter up, now look at the double standards.
Yeah.
The Democratic Alliance want Banyaza Lusufi, the premier of Gauteng, to be held accountable for suspicions or alleged acts of maladministration in four, at least four departments in Gauteng. And that happened when they were the opposition in the previous administration. But they don't want to do the same with the head of state in parliament. That's double standard. And when they were asked during the course of the week and in the National Assembly, why are you quiet? Why are you not bringing this up? They said they don't want to destabilize and they cannot be seen to be attacking a sitting president. So in South Africa, Thato, it's okay to be corrupt. It just depends who you are, who is corrupt, or who is alleged to be corrupt. I mean, what will be wrong in investigating the president? They cannot just come to state and then they talk of face value issues. There's basic fundamental things that the country has to adhere to. You understand? The cash you can carry, the currency you can trade in, the declaration of currency, the sitting head of state conducting businesses. I mean, are we surreal? Are we that dumb? Nah, I don't agree with that. But nonetheless, none of them. What can we do? What can the nation do? He's the commander-in-chief of the country, and none of them are saying he's right. But this shows how our politics, I've said before, political parties in government, they don't respect the law. They don't have respect for the law. If the DA can just switch like this and not question such serious allegations, and they want to go and harass Banyaza Lusufi for reports, because they want to get hold of those reports so that they can fight Banyaza politically. But they are not interested in having the report. And remember, there were two investigations, formal one, for the Palapala case. One by parliament, another one, I can't remember that commission. They both came to a conclusion to say there is a case to answer. Both by retired judges. And now these institutions that are failing to even prosecute simple, basic cases. The NPA is failing to finish up with the Senzo Meyiwa case. You understand? The AKA case, you know, and where there was an investigation conducted by professionals and retired judges to say there's a case to answer. No, you quickly brush it just because it's the head of state. So it depends who you are. I personally think there was wrongdoing by President Ramaphosa, and we should not be shy. And you spoke about the Tito moment earlier on. We should not be shy. The way we called Zuma to pay back the money, the way we focus on Nkandla and other things, we should not be shy to can call when they have done wrong. Otherwise, this whole corruption, a fish rots from the head.
Absolutely.
And it's the same president who said the ANC is the number one accused on corruption in this country. But I look at President Ramaphosa talking in the National Assembly. You know, they say you must never say an adult lies. But when an adult lies through his teeth, what more can you say? I was asking myself yesterday, is it worth it to go to parliament and do questions? And a person answers, then what? Whether you are happy with, then what? After you ask the president questions, and then he answers the way he answers, he says, but I'm being cleared.
Yeah.
You know, all the institutions have cleared me. So you wasted the whole day in parliament asking questions, and he answered the question, so what after? But what do we get as a nation out of asking the president those questions? And then these political parties go back home, have dinners, and go back home after. There is no sense of accountability.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, the National Assembly must find ways of dealing with these things. I mean, for example, you want Simelane, the Minister of Justice, to be held accountable. You want the president to fire her, actually, for half a million that she paid over 200,000. You know, I was thinking about that case this morning to say, by the way, what wrong did she do? They're not even talking about declaring. They're just saying it was conflict of interest. She borrowed money from somebody who had business with, and she paid back the money private. Is that a dismissible offense? These are some of the things. I mean, if you look at the purported or the alleged crime that Timothy Melani has committed and the alleged crime that the president has committed, just look at the two. One is trading in dollars in the account. The number one is trading in dollars that we don't know where they came from. They flew from the sky. They came with a drone. They never went through the airport or any port of entry. And this one borrows money from a friend that is doing government business with. Which one is the real crime there? And these are some of the questions we should be asking.
Sure.
These are some of the shortfalls of the government of national unity, that now the opposition party is weakened, being the MK and the DA that has the facts and the historical part of this is sleeping with it. I mean, it was so embarrassing for me this week seeing the ANC celebrating 100 days of the GNU. Like, what is there to be celebrated?
The fact that it's lasted 100 days, there's a reason to celebrate.
No, fresh.
Many didn't give it a week or two.
Celebrate a loss. No, but it was not the government celebrating. It was the ANC, the political party. They never celebrated being in power. Not even once. They never had a party of saying, we've been in power for 100 days. They had a victory party after elections. They used to have those victory parties. But they go and celebrate. They're not the government. They're part of the government. So why would they go and celebrate in Luthulu House? And for the first time, it was very economical, because that's when we didn't see the champagnes and black suits and ties. It was on the streets and all that. But it's very embarrassing. Anyway, that's the politics of our country and the status.
Anything else in terms of what President Ramaphosa was answering in the National Assembly that has caught your attention?
Look, it was general, fresh. It's things that has been in the storyline. It was the Simelane thing, it was the Pala thing, the performance of government. He was asked a lot about it. It's too early to Ken.
I was going to say, it's way too early.
I mean, it's too early. We haven't heard in the first budget vote, you know, for that matter. So it's too early to see how he is going to be handled, this multi-party, nine political parties government moving forward. But most of the things, it was about the performances of the previous six administration and things that were hanging, and the promises that he had made that he could not fulfill. But now he can hide behind the GNU. You understand? To say, no, now we have the GNU. Minister Schreiber is running with this whole thing.
Yeah.
Minister of Home Affairs, that has become Minister of Tourism and Employment. This. The Minister of Home Affairs talks of tourism and employment more than the Minister of Labor and May Patricia Dilili of Good Party, the Minister of Tourism. The Minister of And I've warned against this. Home Affairs is an enabler for tourists and travelers to move. They are not the leading party. They must just make sure that when people need visas or permits to move into South Africa. But one thing, you must give credit to them, the DAPR mechanism.
Remember I said the last time.
And them jumping to claim nice things when they are doing it well.
And I think what the DA are doing well is understanding that there is very low-hanging fruit that they can flip into their own victories.
Yes.
But things that already the comrades were doing. It's just that the comrades never PR'd it.
No, but they even go to low-hanging fruits on other, they are overreaching in other departments that are not them, you know, to try and show that we are moving things. Good for the country, good for some of us, queues will be reduced. And things may start working.
Tell me there's an election coming without telling me there's an election coming. That's exactly how you behave.
Exactly. So I think it's early. Let's give them time. Say 3 more months. The financial, we are going into the third term of the financial year of the country now, the third quarter of the financial year. Let's wait for this. Then they will have a budget vote. They'll have a new budget from 1st of April next year. Let's move forward with it. We are still reeling away from elections.
Sure.
But it's going to be a very rough time. I've seen how Umkhonto wesizwe and other political parties. I was Songezo, who is heading Skopa now. I'm very impressed. You know, you can see he's an astute business person who came into politics. And I think he was the right person to be selected for that Skopa position.
Sure.
But for as long as there's wrongdoing that is found to be committed by politicians and public servants, whether you are a DG, you are a CEO, you are a commissioner, and they do wrong, and there's no punitive measures. They will just say, this CEO has squandered that money, this commissioner has done this, and it ends there. For as long as these people are not procedurally and legally prosecuted, to recover whatever when you do a wrong decision and the state lose millions of rents, the state must be able to recover those monies from you.
Absolutely.
And this is a kind of corrective and prosecution measures we want to see in place in government. Because Botsang has done wrong, so what? You let him go, he gets deployed somewhere. And that's the challenge. But this thing of recycling and shifting public servants who have failed in their duties to other government departments, I think it's something that is also coming to an end.
Absolutely.
Because other political parties will say, you can't be moving that person to another entity or department when they've done wrong.
Let's stay in parliament and talk about the Red Berets. Because generally, people are saying the Red Berets are bleeding members, or that there's a mass exodus. But it's a handful of people. Is it a crisis?
It's fresh. I think it's a crisis that I had predicted.
Is it concerning or is it a crisis?
It's concerning. The right word is concerning.
I don't know. But it's a crisis.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's a concern, and I think Julius is aware of it as the commander in chief of the EFF, because he keeps on mentioning it in person. He did warn when the deputy left Floyd to say, no, we are aware there'll be others who will follow. But I will say it's a concern that will lead to crisis, because you probably know and focus on this handful. That also do not have a significant impact. But there are those who go with them. There are those that are not reported from branches, from regions, from other, that are not in the limelight or in the media. And for me, that is the biggest threat to the organization, to say they're dislocating them even on the ground. You know, I still speak to a lot of people of the EFF in various provinces. There is an exodus of people. Some for own personal reasons, some for greed, some for being political, what do you call it, careerists.
Sure.
But some are, you know, in South Africa, there's this political party members who follow a member of a member, who follow a certain leader. You understand? I mean, in the handful that has left, I think the biggest impact is the deputy president and Mr. Fana Mokoena. Advocate Busue Mkhwebane and Mzwanele Manyi, they were literally new a year in the EFF, and Mzwanele was even less.
And I believe both of them generally were just political opportunists.
Yes.
More than anything else.
Anything else.
And they will go to the next person that offers them possibly better.
Exactly. Possibly better. Or it was maybe a political strategy. First, you remember we spoke about this.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't understand how people do not see the strategy of President Jacob Zuma. Mzwanele Manyi has been the right-hand person of President Zuma throughout, for years. You understand? Even when he joined the EFF, before MKP was formed, Umkhonto wesizwe party, he was still the spokesperson of the Jacob Zuma Foundation. And did anybody really think when there's a Jacob Zuma formed party, Mzwanele
will not go there.
I mean, for me, I've said it long ago, it was just logical. But again,
should they have released him in the interest of, we feel you might be conflicted?
Yeah. But he resigned, he left.
But what I'm saying, though, is before it even
got there. Yes.
Because what you're saying is, it was almost inevitable that he would eventually go back home.
Absolutely, yes.
So should they have anticipated it and said, listen, we anticipate conflict here.
Yeah.
we know you probably want to be with your father, that
yes,
that we're going to let you go, mm-hmm. so that they control the narrative.
Yes.
Would it have been in their interest to perhaps do that?
It would have been. Remember, the leadership of the EFF would have initiated that process.
Yes.
So what it does, it's risk management. Mm. And it also manages the public perceptions. Absolutely. Because perceptions are very, you know, important in politics. They would have managed perceptions. Mm. They would have said, no, we are managing the risks and the perceptions, and we are guarding our organization and our movement with pride.
Absolutely.
But they have failed to do that. Mm. The same with Advocate Mkhwebane. People know or associate Advocate Mkhwebane with Jacob Zuma and everybody else. If you look at who are his friends. Mm. But I'll tell you something at the end, what I'm thinking is happening, who's actually bleeding the EFF. But then with Fana Mokwena, if you look at the NCC, National Command Council of the EFF, if you look at it, Fana Mokwena was the last remaining founder.
I was going to say, losing someone like Fana Mokwena is probably as grave as losing a Floyd.
Yes.
Because they were there from day one.
He was, I remember I've always said,
not these ones were parachuted in and then want to leave.
When the EFF on the 27th of July was finally announced, and you know, red berets were seen for the first time, Fana Mokwena was, I still vividly recall the Fana Mokwena and Andile Mutama and Kenny Kunene. Mm. Kenny Kunene was there. Now, all those people are gone.
Yeah.
You understand? So we cannot say this is a small thing. And I don't think Fana is merely leaving for going to another political party. It could be a career move. I mean, he's got a career. And also, he may think the EFF is sinking. I don't want to be seen to sink with it. Or one of the people who failed. Remember, sometimes I don't think the EFF will die. I still think it has a long time to go. But let me tell you, and whoever is not going to be happy with this, this is Botsang's observation. You know who's managing the EFF?
Tell us.
Who is dealing with this whole thing? Who's pulling strings from all sides? It's Advocate Dalimpof.
How?
Who is in the center of all these people? Who is in the middle? Who is with Mkhwebane, with Zuma, with Manyu?
Are you saying this confidently? Or are you saying he's allegedly doing it?
No, there's no allegation.
Yeah.
It is my thinking.
You're speculating.
I'm speculating.
That
it is my thinking.
He's the puppet master here.
He is the puppet master. He is in a position.
He's the common thread.
He's the common denominator in the whole thing. Whether it is strategically or maliciously or for the benefit of controversies or for correcting the EFF.
Yeah.
Understand? Or for correcting the EFF. Whatever reason. But for me, when I sit and I assess, and there is nothing that he has done or an allegation that came from anybody that makes me say that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, when I apply my mind and I observe the common denominator, the centerpiece in the middle of all MK people and all legal people and all challenge and fought people who are in court or what, there's one person in the center of them, whether with legal relations, whether it's personal relations, whether it's comrades, it is Advocate Dalimpof. And he was the chairperson of the EFF.
Yes, sir.
He is best positioned to say that thing will not fly. You understand? That thing will not fly. He is best positioned to do that. Lenin had his own Stotskys. Whoever, in politics, they always have people who are their center masterpieces. Mm. And I will not be surprised that this country will wake up one day and we hear and we are told that the brains behind President Zuma was Dalimpof.
In fact, that was my next question then. What are you saying the end goal would be then? If, let's, for argument's sake, go with your narrative and your theory that Advocate Mpofu is the one who's maneuvering.
To correct the ultimate goal, remember, Dalimpof is from the ANC, he's the child of the ANC.
Sure.
And they all left because they had, you know, disgruntled or, you know, angry with something. Their ultimate goal now is what? Is to form and continue the struggle where they think the ANC has failed or let them down. The ultimate goal is to correct the ANC. The ultimate goal is to come with a force. The force has been formed. It's called Mkhonto-Wesizwe.
Are you then saying that we mustn't be surprised if Advocate Mpofu is the next to jump ship?
do you think he's still there?
Do you think he long left?
I think he long left. I think, what is he doing in the EFF? He's focusing on his business and legal matters. Mm. The only time I saw Advocate Mpofu recently talking about the EFF, it's when there were recent accusations about some things that happened while he was the chairperson. They were being accused recently by some people. And he came out gun blazing defending. But the only reason he did that, because these accusations that happened 2-3 months back, it's things that had happened when he was the chairperson of the EFF. It was about monies, wastage of government monies, misuse of monies. So he had to defend himself, he had to defend his era to say, when this thing was tabled in front of me, we handled it. But I don't think he's actively a member of the EFF.
Let me tell you why I believe he still is. When was it Matodzi of VBS signed that deal?
Yes.
And the document was leaked.
Yeah.
It was Advocate Mpofu who was doing interviews trying to clean up what was alleged in the
document. To have come, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So he was the one doing interviews on behalf of the EFF.
I'm saying he was doing that because when that deal happened, when Matoja and the others gave money to the EFF, he was the central chairperson of the EFF. I'm saying he was doing that because that happened under his chairmanship.
Okay.
He presided over, he even said it, that some of the meetings and the engagements for donations and sponsorship, he chaired those meetings. And I'm saying he's doing it because of that. And that's the only time he came out in defense of the EFF. Look, Advocate Mpofu is not a populist. He's got a profession. He's not going to go and call a press conference and say, I'm resigning from the EFF. I'm joining Umkhonto. No, no, no. He's not going to do that. I also don't think he will want to be seen with another political party uniform.
Sure.
I belong to a political party. Nobody will ever know, except members of that party who have come across my membership. You understand? Yeah. Because I don't want to be seen as a member of a certain political party. It's a choice I have made.
Yeah, but your leanings in terms of your military training as a teenager and your positions in J generally make it clear which party you're a member of.
That's an assumption, and you may be surprised. That's an assumption.
So you're saying to me that you'd let a party raise you, even train you militarily, only to become a member of a different party?
The party that raised me and trained me has lost its plot long ago.
And you've said before that they've
lost the plot, and they are even part of the GNU that I don't agree with. I mean, how do you put a Pan-Africanist in a GNU with the right wingers, understand? So, coincidentally, I never even voted the PAC. Never, because I've long believed that the PAC was a vehicle to drive the liberation, not a political party.
Oh, yes.
And they are proving themselves year in, year out to say they've lost the plot.
Are you saying the PAC would be better off as a non-political movement pushing the Pan-Africanist
agenda
yes. at different levels versus Vote For Us?
Seven elections, never went more than 1%. Why still waste time and resources? They're fragmented. Why still waste? Rather go and infiltrate and push political. And that's what some of us have done.
So there
we have infiltrated
a lobby group.
A lobby group and support political parties that contest elections to go and implement Pan-Africanism. And Umkhonto has stood up now and say, one, we are a Pan-Africanist organization.
Sure.
Two, we are pro-black, but we are non-racial. And three, we talk the length. So everything that the PAC is talking about has been taken by other political parties. The EFF did the same. What is the purpose of the PAC? That's why they decided, let's go to bed with the DA.
Should they disband as a party?
They should. They should disband as a political party.
Yeah.
The PAC should go back and be a movement that is focusing on advancing the Pan-Africanism ideology. Because it's lacking. People don't know when we speak of Pan-Africanism, what are we talking about? They will do much better. They will be listened much better. But watch this space about Advocate Dali. Of one day, this country and this world will remind me who is the brain and the mastermind behind controversies.
Sure. Let's go to Russia. The BRICS summit is, you can almost smell it. And obviously the Russians are hosting it. There was a launch recently. What has been launched?
First, you know, there's various committees. The main important one was the one of ministers of finances of other countries.
Did ours go?
No, surprisingly. And I haven't seen a statement or anything when the ministers of finance of BRICS member states were there. South Africa was not there. It was very surprising. But also a founding member, and we play a very big role there, you understand, despite being a founding member. For example, Dr. Iqbal Seif is part of the financial and economic stream. He's leading it for South Africa. But then they launched the BRICS, cut currency. The challenger to Visa and MasterCard. They've launched. Now you can get a credit card or a card that you can transact with internationally, but it's from the BRICS bank. So it's not a MasterCard and it's not a Visa, the Western.
Okay, so it's BRICS linked, not Russia linked.
No, it's BRICS linked.
So the sanctions against Russia wouldn't affect it?
No, they wouldn't, because it's a BRICS thing. But obviously, Russia is hosting BRICS for Monday and it's been launched on this summit. It's one of the things they have done. And then they also pronounced this committee after they've met of financial ministers. They pronounced on the de-dollarization process that shockingly, India stood up and said, we are not buying into that.
Why would you think India would refuse to ditch the dollar?
Look, I don't think they are refusing to ditch it, basically, but I'm thinking economically. India is, if not the biggest market, or one of the biggest producers of electronic products, computers, and things like that. Their biggest client on their electronics is the USA. That's the first part. India is still, you know, having colonial smiles with the UK. You understand? So those links, they even for South Africa, we still have colonial link with the UK. We still go to the Queen or the King now and all that. But it is also because India is saying, I cannot stop trading with a dollar, because most of people who are doing business with me as Mother India
are using the dollar. In the first place.
Yeah. And for me, it makes economic sense. One may see it as a betrayal to BRICS. But remember, BRICS also position of fighting the dollar or the dollar is saying, the countries or the member states of BRICS, when they trade amongst themselves, they should trade with their domestic currencies. So if India is trading with South Africa, they must pay each other with rand and rupee, or alternatively with the BRIC currency that will be launched in future. That's what the BRICS position is. But India is saying there are countries that are not USA. Let's use Zimbabwe, that are trading internationally.
In the dollar.
In the dollar, understand? So India saying, I will trade with Zimbabwe with a dollar currency, because that's what they are using, not with their currency. And for me, it makes economic sense. It may derail, but that's where BRICS has to be very careful and wary of having a number of states that are going to come in to join. And you find that the majority of the member states that want to join BRICS, they are trading in a dollar. It will then defeat the purpose of de-dollarization. If the majority of the members say, but my country, I'm joining, but I'm trading in a dollar. You understand? With South Africa, it's a little bit safe. You know, the South African rand is a recognized commodity internationally. It's on the exchange, right? So if we deal with them, we can use the rand. But it's going to be very difficult for the BRICS member state or the BRICS, you know, group or bloc to can challenge the dollar. America is going to fight tooth and nail. And once America elections have passed fresh, you will see whoever wins, you will see how they are going to put more focus and emphasis on countering BRICS. Absolutely. They are going to do that.
Absolutely. Quickly, let's go to the Gaza Strip.
Yes.
Israeli Defense Force 2 days ago announced that they've killed Hamas leader Anwar.
Anwar.
And Kamala Harris has been making the right noises about how we need a ceasefire, we need a solution, we need to relook at things, the way things are happening. There have been threats of, we will stop military aid if you guys don't slow down what's happening in the in Gaza. But I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, but
intensifying.
No, but just also Netanyahu doesn't care.
He doesn't care. No,
And I don't think politically it's in his interest for there to be peace.
It's too late. It's too late. It won't make any difference. Politically, also domestically in Israel. Mm. If he goes for peace, people will say, after you have destroyed, after you have messed up.
And also, they're going to probably look at him as weak.
Yes, yes, that you are giving up. You are giving in.
Because as much as there's pressure from the rest of the world that Israel, what you're doing is wrong, he's probably also looking at things domestically.
Domestically, yeah.
We're going to be seen as weak. Yeah. I'm going to be seen as weak.
Yes.
If I capitulate.
And once also there's a big challenge. South Africa is back at the ICC, the court of criminal court.
Yeah.
There's a possibility that if Netanyahu alafa site in a township language, he loses sight somewhere, he may end up being tried in international court, because there's a call for that from various countries. Absolutely. At the moment, that he must be tried for criminality, especially that they were found to are committing atrocities, you know, international crime atrocities. He may find himself, so it's personal, it's domestic, and internationally, I don't think he cares anymore. Mm. America, they've made them, you know, they've made them where they are. And I think Israel, they wouldn't be this reckless and arrogant if they were not armed to teeth. Mm. I think they are confident that the U.S. will help them if it blows out this whole thing. But this thing of every week killing leaders of either Hezbollah or Hamas or leaders of Iran or what, it's becoming dangerous. It's becoming, and now Russia itself has issued a statement to say to Israel, you dare play next to the nucleus of Iran. We are part of that. Remember, Iran and Russia have this nuclear deal of producing nuclear arms. And there are Russian scientists who are actually based in Iran that President Putin pulled them out 2 weeks back in threat that they will be killed while they are there. And Russia has issued a warning to say, should Israel hit the nuclear
part. Any of our installations.
Yes. Yeah. They will actually be attacking Russia, and Russia will be forced to respond. Look, I'm one of the people who pray that the world must never go into a nuclear war. Because once it starts, it's over, fresh. I'm telling you, I still want to leave you more years.
Part of me wishes that I actually pop the Russian bear. I just want to see something. That's all. And you know, sometimes that's what the world needs, a hard reboot. So maybe let them poke the Russian
What
bear.
If we don't reboot? What if this whole thing is going to wipe us off?
Honestly, for me, I think it's a risk worth taking at this stage.
With your friend, and you have your friend, Yang Tsung Pong, whoever, with him saying, I'm ready. Well, he's just waiting for action.
Kim?
Yes, Kim. Did you see what he did during the week? He bombed the railway lines to South Korea, to his neighbor. And he's like, you guys are hostile. You are too much with the West. I'm cutting the railway. He just bombed them.
Yeah.
And then, so, I don't think it's risky.
What fun is the world without a couple of unstable leaders?
The world must always have some unstable leaders. Nah, that's very dangerous. We are living in an era of nuclear weapons and countries like South Africa. Africa will actually suffer more. Should the world go? The West and the East, they'll be flying these bombs over. Some will fall into our continent.
As long as the wind is not blowing this side, I don't know that we'll suffer nuclear fallout.
Let them do their thing.
They must do their thing there at the top.
Leave us alone.
We're fine at the bottom of the continent.
Yeah, no. Well, they've got all their naval ships. We've got two oceans, us. And we will be affected.
Absolutely.
But Kamala Harris as well. I don't know whether there are two changes. Because she will say, stop. Then suddenly, no. Israel has a right to defend itself.
But also, let's see when and if she wins the election in a couple of weeks, if the American stance will soften when it comes to the Middle East conflict.
Yeah, no, we'll see when it comes. I just hope she doesn't win. I just hope Kamala Harris doesn't win.
I don't know if the world needs another madman at the helm.
No. Trump is mad, but he's a businessman and he is for peace. He is for peace. He may be talking loud and screaming, but I think the two devils are rather go for Trump.
Yeah. B, I think we're done.
No, thanks, my brother. Thanks for another nice episode.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Please like, subscribe, share with your friends, tell your mom, your aunt, your grandfather that Busang and Thato are on TV. We're on YouTube. We are also on all podcast networks.
Yes, oh, talking on TV, I did my nails. You didn't see? Look, bro.
Yeah, what are you shining? I was wondering why there's clay coming from your hands.
No. My hair guy, I did my hair facial. Yeah. You know this guy, Jack. Hi, Jack.
If you did your hair, you must get a refund.
I did my hair. Jack told me it's perfect to go to the studio.
No, if you did your hair, you must get a refund.
Fresh, I don't want to be like you. So this lady, Nana, who does my nails, says, you see, Mr.
Where is she?
Is in Cantonment Street in Littleton.
I'll go support her.
Canton, she's very good. No, she did my toenails. And she says to me, look at that man, you appear with him on TV. His nails are always prop. Come, let me do your nails. So, Nana, I hope they look good.
Nana, I will see you on Monday. I'll come and support you. We must support small business.
No, thanks, my brother. Yes, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Botsang. Where do we find you on social media?
BotsangM@gmail.com and 082-485-91000 on WhatsApp. And also on social media handles, @BotsangM on all social media sites.
We might be coming to you live next week, Saturday morning, subject to Mr. Popular here's availability. But I'd love for us to go live next week, Saturday morning.
Yeah, if we haven't finished celebrating your birthday. By the way, to our viewers, it is the Tato's birthday on the 15th, so it is birthday month. Yeah. And I asked him, where is the party? The party must continue for the whole month.
No, we'll celebrate. In fact, watch my social media at DJ Fresh SA across all social media. And we might be celebrating at a place near you soon.
Thanks, brother man.
Till next week, thanks for tuning in to Wow What a Week, #politics, coming to you from Discover TV in Johannesburg. Look them up. They use their studios. It's a dope setup. You'll absolutely love it. You can get in touch with us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. We are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out Pezulu Works, Trevor and his team for the cinematography, Otis the Floor Fraser for all of the imaging, and our executive producer, Keletso Modisa King. Till next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.